Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Thank you, Father, just for this time we're getting coming together here this morning to just receive from your word. And thank you that this time is going to be blessed as we dig into your word, which is life-giving. Thank you, Father, just for Holy Spirit ministering truth to us, just revealing truth to us as we open up our hearts and just sit back and receive. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for the Zimbabwean team that is just as busy impacting Zimbabwe now, Father. All of those individuals. Thank you, Father, just for the unity that's amongst that team and just that they are just sharing your love, your light in a broken nation. Thank you, Father, that this week and the days to come is going to be such a blessing to the team for them to step out in their identity as sons and daughters of God, to share the gospel to every individual that they come in contact with. And thank you, Father, just for the people receiving the seed there, Father, that the seed that they're receiving is just going to be life-transforming and impact the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Shane also sends his regards and the whole team there. They are busy just going for it, and they're ministering at the bunch of different churches in Zimbabwe, and he just said he's missing us, and the team's missing us, we're missing them, but they're going to have a great time, and we're going to hear some epic testimonies when they're coming back. So as Peter said, you guys are all super welcome this morning. All of our guests that are here as well, you are really welcome. Don't feel pressured to do anything, to shout out amen or hallelujah or anything like that. Just receive God's word for you, and just receive what he wants to minister to you this morning. It's a privilege for me to be standing in front to share God's word with all of you, and I'm not any more special than you guys sitting there. All of us are ministers of reconciliation. All of us have received God's word and his love for us. So the platform I've got this morning is the pulpit. But all of you have a specific platform, and don't diminish and think small of the platform that you've got in your sphere of influence, in your working environment, in your families. You've got the ministry and the word of reconciliation that was given and invested into you. Go for it. Share that. As I'm sharing from this platform, you've got your platforms. And as we're just being faithful to the word that we've received, we'll see lives change and lives being impacted by God's love and his goodness. So that was also just for free. And to add on to what Peter said, we've got the Make a Difference part 4 of the Growth Track happening after the morning service. And at Grace Life, our heart is really for you. All of the announcements and Growth Track is not to just be busy. God hasn't called us to be busy. He's called us to be effective and to be purposeful. So with everything that we're doing, we are being purposeful. And that is a place for you to come and receive scriptural backings to how you can make a difference, how you can be a representative and an ambassador for God and his kingdom. So join us for that. If you haven't joined us, it's going to be blessed. It's going to be great. On to my message today. I just really had it on my heart for you to show you the pleasure and delight of God and what that means, the pleasure and delight of God. And as we get into my message, I've got a few questions for all of you. You can answer out with a raise of hand or just in your heart. And the first question is, who of you love God? Who of you love God? Okay, cool. Most of the hands went up. I'm assuming that the hands that didn't go up, you were dragged there by some annoying family member or annoying friend who forced you and kept telling you, come to church, come to church. Or you were just shy to put your hand up. And on that note, just like asking the question, who of you love God? I think at the conference, promoting the Ed Elliott Good News Conference again, he really drilled in on this point that whenever he ministers to people and whenever he goes out and he engages with a crowd or with an individual, his heart is not to force that person or get that person to love God. That's not his desire. His desire is to leave them and leave that meeting with that person at least liking God. Because a lot of us, we try and jump into the first 5 minutes of engaging with someone and trying to evangelize them to get them to love God. But which one of you married couples, after the first 5 minutes of meeting your future spouse, not obviously at that time, after that first 5 minutes, you were like completely and utterly in love with them, and you're like, this is my wife, I'm getting married to them. Some of you, okay, might. Yeah, burnout, great stuff. Some of you might have had that encounter, but it doesn't regularly happen like that. And so we shouldn't get confused to think that that's how God wants it to happen with us. He wants us to, at least when we're engaging with people, just give them a liking aspect of who He is. Because from that liking aspect, you can build to a relationship, getting to know Him. Because why are you going to get to know someone if you don't like them? And then from that liking step, you can go to a friendship. And then that from that friendship, you're building life together, and then it develops into a love relationship. So I just wanted to encourage that with you guys with asking that question. Then the next question, who of you that put up your hands would call themselves on fire for God? You're passionate for God. You're going for it. You're changing the world. You know, we've got a few there. Okay, the lands are starting to get less now. If you would say you're living a good life for God, you're living a life on purpose, and you're kind of hitting on all cylinders. Okay, another few. Great. We've got a few honest people who didn't raise their hands. I think they can do a little bit more. And I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. I wanna leave you with these questions, and these are not for you to answer now. I'm gonna answer them for you. And I'm going to answer them for you from God's word. Do you know what pleases God, like utterly pleases God, makes His heart burn with passion, makes His heart skip a beat? Do you want to know what gives Him butterflies? Obviously, God is, He's got all of the perfect emotions 24/7, but I want to like just carry across a point. Do you know what really makes His heart skip a beat for you make His heart skip a beat for you? If God wasn't awake 24/7, the answer to those questions would be the thing that gets Him up in the morning. Gets Him up in the morning and gets Him working. Obviously, God is awake 24/7, so stay with me. So the answer to these questions, we're going to get into that. And we're actually going to, we're going to get into that. With going there, I'm going to look at two characters from the Bible that really exemplified the answer to these questions. First of all, the life of David. David was a shepherd boy. Shepherd boy became king of Israel. And then we've got Saul, a religious Jew, who became Paul, and he became a devout follower of Jesus Christ. And some of you might be thinking already, oh, it's obvious why God was in such awe and passion and a proud father heart for these sons, David and Paul, because they had such great testimonies. They accomplished so much for the kingdom of God. But that is not where I'm going with this. If we look at David, just some of his accomplishments, obviously killing the Goliath, all of us remember that. David slayed Goliath. David became king of Israel. David was also part of the lineage of Jesus Christ, the same bloodline of Jesus. And then David wrote so many beautiful hymns and psalms about God. Then Paul, on the other side, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. The writings about God's love and His grace are still impacting us today. And then Paul wrote about just God's love and His grace, and he was really transformed by that. But none of these things mentioned is at the root and the foundation for God's love and joy and passion for His sons. That is not what it is about. God's delight in His sons and for Him being pleased to Him was not in these accomplishments. His heart burning with this feeling of being super proud about His sons was not in all of these accomplishments. For those of you who don't know, David committed adultery. David killed Bathsheba's husband, the woman that he committed adultery with. Paul killed many Christians. Paul put Christians in jail for their faith in God. And I see a lot of confused faces now, wondering, where am I going with this? First, I'm sharing all of the great accomplishments of these two guys, and then I'm also illuminating the fact that they had pretty big blunders as well. And stay seated. We're about to take off. Buckle up. And we're gonna get into it. First, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. I'm mainly going to read out of the King James Version, which is also on the screen for you. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7 says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not at his countenance, on his height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And here's the account of David being anointed as king, and God said that, I do not look at the outward appearance of man, not just your physical stature and your physical being, but your actions as well. God doesn't look at your actions, but he looks at your heart. Peter was sharing with regards to giving and the offering being taken up. It's not about how much you give, but it's about the heart and the motive that you give. It's about not about how much you do for the kingdom of God, but what is your motive and your fueling behind doing what you're doing for the kingdom of God. Acts 13 verse 22 says, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, this is God speaking, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. And this is beautiful. God saying that David, God foreknowing, knew all of the mistakes that he was going to make. He still declared, David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which will fulfill all of my will. And this is beautiful for two reasons that I want to bring to your attention. First of all, like I mentioned earlier on, David was part of the bloodline and the lineage of Jesus. So that was God's fulfilling coming through David, the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, our redemption through David. So that was part of the fulfillment that came through David. But the other one is where I'm going with all of the questions. What makes God's heart burn with passion and desire? What makes God's heart so pleasing, full of joy and fulfillment when he looks at us? And that is where we're going with the second part of David fulfilling the will of God. Go with me to Psalm 18 verse 2. Psalm 18 verse 2. David writing here says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and my horn of my salvation and my high tower. The word you trust in the Greek and Hebrew, it explains it like this. It says, fleeing for protection, to have hope in, to make refuge. David was writing here about his trust being in God, his trust being completely and utterly, his confidence for his salvation, for his protection, was so rooted and grounded in love. And that is where I want to go with this, and I want to draw this picture for you, for those of you who are parents, or not even if you've got, at some stage your kids were little toddlers, if you don't have kids yet, you'd be uncles or grandparents or whatnot, and you would have somewhere along the lines be getting to deal with little toddlers. And if you had this image of a little toddler being chased by a little Jack Russell or poodle, like a angry rabid dog, and they run to you and they're fleeing for their life, they're fleeing for protection, and you, the closest adult close by, they would jump up into your arms, or you'd be ready there to catch them and take them up into your arms and protect them from that raging dog. And this is kind of the picture that I had as I was reading the scripture from David. Like, that is how David, he jumped into God's arms at every account. Obviously not physically, but in his understanding of God being his protection, that is where he went. God was his protection. God was his where he's put his trust in. And Paul also, in the same way, he put it differently in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. It's one of my favorite passages that Paul wrote. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Go with me there. It says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul is writing here, and he uses the word grace three times in this one scripture, the word grace. And what was grace for? Grace was for salvation. Grace was for salvation. Paul put his faith in God's grace and his love for his salvation. And Paul said, because of this, because of my faith in God and what he did for me, I labored more abundantly. I did so much more than every person that he knew for the kingdom of God. But he said it was not because of his own good doing. It was not because of his own desire to just do something, but it was fueled and motivated from the grace of God, which was the gift given for salvation. So his faith and his faith in God again allowed him to please God and to fulfill all that God wanted him to fulfill. David wrote about trusting and relying on God more than anyone else in the Bible. Paul wrote about the joy and the grace of God more than anyone else in the Bible. So with these two characters, with these two sons of God, I want to take you to the answer to the questions asked earlier on about making God's heart burning with fire, desire, and passion for his sons. The root foundational answer for God's delight in his sons and him being pleasing with them, or them being pleasing to him, the answer to God's heart skipping a beat and his heart just burning with this gratefulness, delight for his sons, was as simple as the following. Wait for it. Their faith and love. Their faith in the love and grace of their father. It's nothing more than that. Their faith, the complete trust and reliance upon Jesus Christ, their salvation in God the Father. The word faith and the word belief is used interchangeably across the Bible, and it kind of means the same things, but not. It's used almost 500 times in the New Testament alone, and it means the following: especially reliance upon Christ for salvation, or entrusting one's well-being to Christ. Luke 15 verse 7, keep that in mind. We're going to dig into that now and look at that. Luke 15 verse 7 says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And the word repentance is basically, it's not a 180 degree turn. Yes, the 180 degree turn is a fruit of repentance, but repentance at its root is talking about a mind renewal. And Matt, I shared this morning about just Joseph Prince taking the breaking up the word repentance to the Hebrew words, and it's basically just that the picture that the words that was symbols to the definition of the word repentance. It draws a picture of the cross and Jesus Christ changing your mind, changing your view from what it was to Jesus. That's what repentance is. It's a mind renewal. And Mark 1:15 also explains this to us, or draws this picture for us. It says, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. It doesn't say repent and now work for the kingdom of God, or repent and change your actions. It says repent, change your mind, believe the gospel. So it's not about confessing your sins. It's not about trying to live right. It's repent, change the way you think. Change the way you think to the gospel. So anything that is contrary to the gospel, change that. Believe the gospel. That is what the scripture is saying. In Matthew 16 verse 15 to 19, I'm going to go dig a little bit deeper. It says, he said unto them, but who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I was so blessed when I studied these scriptures and looked at them, and the first thing I want to draw out for you guys is Peter identified and saw Jesus as the Son of God. Why is that? Why is that so amazing? Because I know that God wants us to have the same revelation that Jesus had, the same revelation that Paul or that Jesus said, that upon this rock, not upon Peter, upon this rock, I'll build my church. Upon this revelation, I'll build my church. And the church of God needs to be built upon this revelation, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And what does that mean for us? Peter saw Jesus in that Father-Son relationship as well. Jesus illuminated the Son-Father relationship for us. And now, as sons and daughters, having that understanding as God our Father, our sonship in Him, upon that revelation, the church of God will be built. Upon nothing else, upon that faith that God is my Father, I'm His Son, upon that revelation, the church of God will be built. Not upon miracles, signs, and wonders. Those are byproducts of understanding your relationship with God the Father, putting your faith in Him. Faith and reliance upon Jesus as our salvation is what completely and utterly pleases God. Faith and reliance upon Jesus as our salvation, as our Father, is what utterly and completely pleases God. God created us for His good pleasure and for His will. In John 38, verse 40, you can go with me there. I'm having fun here. John 6, verse 38 to 40. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him which sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that I of all, or that of all which He has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up again at the last day. So what is God's will? Not that we live holy, that we live righteously, that we do great feats for His kingdom, not that we get as many Christian or many people converted to Christianity. No, His will for us is to see who He is. His will for us is to come to see Jesus Christ and put our faith in Jesus Christ. That is God's will and His good pleasure. That is His pleasing pleasure for us to see Him and put our faith in Him as our Lord and Savior. In Revelation 4 verse 11, it says that You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For You have created all things, and for Thy good pleasure has He created, or we were created. And it's so beautiful to see again from Genesis that we were created not just for nothing, but we were created for a purpose. And we were created in God's image for a purpose. And God's heart's desire has been from the beginning, and still is today, to have complete, perfect fellowship and relationship with us, His children. And that's why Jesus had to come. To take away the sin, the brokenness of man, and bring us into right standing with God. And that is a whole different topic in itself, and I'm not going to go into that too much this morning, but it's the gospel message is Jesus came to eradicate and take away sin so we can live holy, not because of our actions, but because of Jesus in us. And that is supernatural and such a great revelation. God's only desire for us to see Him for who He truly is. And then also from that place, we can see ourselves as the sons and the daughters that we are. And Shane shared a little bit about last week about our sonship and how we have been adopted into the family. And this is a pretty awesome picture if you think about it. It's so much more than just the earthly adoption, obviously. And Shane touched a little bit on this last week. I'm just going to, or he shared on it last week. I'm going to touch a little bit on it. So in a natural sense, if you get adopted on earth, say your DNA says X and you get adopted into family W, you still have your DNA X while being part of this family. But in God's family, when you get adopted from DNA X, you get transferred and now you've got DNA Jesus. Amen. So your DNA, your birth certificate, that's not the only thing that changes, but your DNA changes as you receive the Spirit of the living God inside of you. Your spirit within becomes one. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17 says that he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with Him. So your DNA and that adoption is sealed with the Holy Spirit. You can't unadopt yourself. And it's just by receiving and walking into that adoption, walking into that family. It's nothing more than that. And then the family of Albania just shared quickly on how, in a natural sense, the great thing that happens when you get adopted, they knew someone or they had contact with someone who got adopted in the past few weeks. And it's a beautiful picture. I don't know how the law of South Africa works, but that person got a new birth certificate. But not only did they get a new birth certificate, they went back to the old origin of their birth and the hospital, and they completely wiped all of the information out. All of that information is wiped out. That person doesn't exist anymore. And that's a beautiful picture as well. As Christians, as receiving Christ, your old nature and your history has been wiped away. Every day is a new start because of Jesus' blood that was poured out for us.
Amen.
Amen. That deserves a good amen. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Paul writes further about the will and the pleasure of God. I'm going to look at two accounts from the epistles, Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. Paul writes and says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father." Again, talking about the will of God. God's will, his pleasure, has always been relationship with us. It's always been. And that's why faith in him completely and utterly pleases him so much. It makes him sit with this huge smile on his face just by us believing in him, trusting in him, putting our faith and our reliance for our goodwill, for our well-being in Jesus Christ. That is awesome. We just need to receive and walk in that freedom. Then Paul also writes this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 to 7. I'm going to read it from the easy-to-read version. It says, "In Christ, he has chosen us before the world is made. He chose us in love to be his holy people, people who could stand before him without any fault." Now, before you run to, "Oh, see, Etienne, we need to live holy. We need to have good actions. Otherwise, we can't stand before God." No, you are wrong. Let's carry on. Ephesians 1, verse 5, it says, "And before the world was made, God decided to make us his own children through, not your holy actions, through, not your well-doing, but through Jesus Christ." Amen. "This was what God wanted, and it pleased him to do it." Verse 6, "And this brings praise to God, pleases God because of his wonderful grace. God gave that grace to us freely. He gave us that grace in Christ, the one he loves. In Christ, we are made free by his blood sacrifice. We have forgiveness of sins because of God's rich grace." So again, just this will, this good pleasure, this delight in God to give us Jesus, and by us just sitting back and saying, "I receive," God is having a party. There's a party happening in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than 99 just persons that need no repentance.
Amen.
Every time, that is what makes God's heart tick, makes him come alive when someone comes to the knowledge of who he is and who he is as a father. 2 Peter, you can go with me to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God's will is for all to come to repentance. Not for all to change their lives, live holy, and do great things for the kingdom. That's a byproduct of repentance. All come to repentance. All come to the knowledge of who God is and what the price is that was paid for each one of your lives. Jesus' life was paid for each one of you that's sitting here this morning. Everyone streaming online, everyone in this world was bought with a price. And Jesus' life was that price, that valuable price. And all we need to do is receive that. That is God's will for us, to receive that. And that makes his heart beat and skip many beats. Romans 12 verse 2. I was blessed in a different way from this scripture as I was preparing. Romans 12 verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. again, renewing of your mind by repentance. Repentance, renewing of your mind, changing your mind. Be transformed by repentance, by renewing your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So a lot of people interpret the scripture and they go like, see, we need to prove to God that we are good. We need to prove to God and work for God so that we can show that we are good and we are acceptable and we are perfect. But no, it's saying that through repentance, through changing your mind to what? To the gospel, to faith in Jesus Christ. Through that, you are proving the will of God, the perfect will of God. I was blessed more than you guys were by that. The perfect will of God is manifested through us putting our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't settle for anything less than what God desires for you. Don't settle for what the world is giving you, conforming to this world, the pattern of this world, trying to work for religion, trying to work for God, trying to do X, Y, and Z, trying to just... All of those things are good. God is happy and He's glad when we're going for it, when we're doing good things, but not putting the cart in front of the horse, not doing it because we want acceptance from Him, not trying to please Him, but knowing that we are pleasing to Him. And from that place, from completely relying on Jesus Christ on a daily basis, not just the day when you receive Christ and then from there you kind of miss it and go off on a different tangent trying to work for Him and trying to keep your food in heaven. No. No. Every day is a day where you need to see yourself, see Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and walk in that understanding that faith in God is what completely and utterly pleases Him. As Christians here this morning, if you are part of the family, you are accepted, you are loved, and you are pleasing to God. Amen. Like that's the truth. That's the biblical truth from God's Word. It's not just something I try to make up and I try to convince myself of. But that is the truth. And anything that is coming against this truth is a lie and deception from the enemy. Ooh, it's getting better. Let's go to Matthew's, I'm going to read from two Gospels, from Matthew 3 verse 17, and then also from Mark 1, so you can go to those two scriptures if you've got a hard copy Bible. If you've got the app, then you're probably just going to be able to get to one at a time. So there's limitations to technology. Matthew 3, 17, we're going to do this one first, and this is the account of Jesus' baptism. And I'm going to show you now why I'm reading from these two accounts, different or the same account from the different Gospels. Matthew 3, 17 says, "And lo, a voice from heaven came, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Then Mark 1:11, "And there came a voice from heaven saying, You are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Again, coming back to the account of Peter's revelation, Jesus, the Son of God. Again here, God proclaiming, Jesus, my Son, that is what is pleasing to me. You, as a son of God, as a daughter of God, that is pleasing to God. Before Jesus did any miracles, any wonders, any signs, He got baptized and God proclaimed, Jesus, my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And why I'm reading it out from the two different Gospels is this. It was awesome, I was blessed by it. So the first Gospel said it like this. This is my Son, or this is my beloved Son, in whom I love and I'm well pleased. And then the second Gospel said from Mark, You are my Son, whom I love and I'm well pleased. And why did the writers, Matthew and Mark, write it differently? And as I read this, I was really just seeing this picture. All of the fathers and mothers in here, I had this picture of, if you have a children, or you can picture this with me if you don't have children. But I just saw like the dad standing at the rugby field, like standing chatting to one another, and they're like, "Yeah, that's my son. Look how great he's playing. Look how much he's having fun. That's my son. I love him. I'm so pleased with just him enjoying life, going for it." Chatting to one another like that. I'm sure some of the parents here would have had an encounter where they're just like sitting and they're standing and chatting to family and saying, "Yes, look at my son. Or look at my daughter. I love them so much. I'm so pleased with them." And this is what God did. He proclaimed first, "This is my beloved son." He was proclaiming this out to the audience. "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." And then in Mark, it's like him picking up Jesus and saying, "You are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." And that is exactly the same how God wants to communicate to you. He's talking about each one of you that has put faith in him, that you are his beloved and he is pleased with you. He's talking about you in that way. And then he's also talking directly to each one of you, saying that you are my beloved son. Hear these words from God. "You are my beloved son and daughter, whom I love, and I'm well pleased with you, because you trust and rely on me." Amen. Galatians chapter 3 writes about Abram. It says, "Abram believed this, and because he believed, he was blessed. All the people who believe are blessed the same as Abram was." We've got so much more blessing that Abram had. We've got Jesus Christ, His Spirit, living, residing in us. Every day that we wake up, even while we're asleep, He doesn't go and takes a break from the hard work that He's trying to do through us. He's there constantly. His Spirit is there with us constantly. So we are so much more blessed, and the blessings of Abram and so much more is there for us today as believers. And as I shared earlier on, when we receive Christ, some of us try and go now on a different route, and we receive Christ through faith, but now obviously we need to work and go for it. But Colossians 2 verse 6 says that, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, so continue to walk in Him." And all of you know, Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9 says that by grace you have been saved through faith. By God's gift, His free gift that He's poured out to everyone on this earth, by that, and through us receiving that, putting our faith in that, our reliance and dependence on that, we are saved and enjoying salvation. Continue to walk in that, because that is the will of God, that we walk in the revelation and understanding that God is our Father and He's taking care of us, our faith in Him. So in closing, as I said, God is super pleased with you and jumping with joy. His heart is jumping and leaping with joy for the fact that you've put faith in Him and the gift that He's paid for you, or the price that He's paid for you. Like every parent in here, it's great when your children are obedient and they're doing great things, and I'm sure it blesses you. And just like that, God is also like, it's great and it's blessing Him and it's good. But the root foundational reality and truth for God being pleased with you is not in your actions, but it's in you putting your faith in Him as your Father. That's all it is. Amen. Just like David and Paul, they did great things, but they also did terrible things. But it's because of their faith and their reliance upon God, upon His grace, that they were pleasing to Him, that they were men after His own heart. The last scripture I want to share with you this morning is from Mark chapter 10, verse 13 to 16. It says, "People brought their children to Jesus so that He could lay His hands on them to bless them. But the followers told the people to stop bringing their children to Him. Jesus saw what happened. He did not like His followers telling the children not to come. So He said to them, 'Let the children come to Me. Don't stop them, because God's kingdom belongs to people who are like these little children. The truth is, you must accept God's kingdom like a little child accepts things, or you will never enter it.' Then Jesus held the children in His arms. He laid His hands on them and He blessed them." And this was awesome when I read verse 14 and 15. I just really had this picture. Why is Jesus saying that we need to receive the kingdom and receive God as little children? Some people go south with this and say, "Yo, like little children, they pure, they haven't done anything, they haven't stolen, they haven't lied, they haven't killed, they haven't murdered. Their lives are pretty safe still at the age of 4 or 5. Like, so that is, we need to become pure. We need to become holy in front of God before we receive Him. But that's not what the scripture is saying. And as I shared the bunch of scriptures before, like, obviously that is not what it's talking about. There's no person holy and accepted. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So the only way to receive is through Jesus Christ, through faith in Jesus Christ. And so what I got from this description that's going to bless you guys like it blessed me is that all of us know or have seen 4, 5, 6-year-olds. How selfish are they? Like, what 5-year-old comes up, gets out of bed, runs to mommy and daddy, it's Saturday, they're sleeping late, "Mom, dad, what can I make for you for breakfast? Like, what can I get for you? My bed is made. Once you're out of bed, I'm going to make your bed. What time can I lawn the mown? Mow the lawn." There's no child like that. There's no toddler like that. And don't take this out of context, but I'm going to be promoting self-centeredness for 2 seconds. Don't take it out of context. Toddlers are the most self-centered people that you get. You get adults that are also self-centered, obviously. but bear with me for a moment. God wants us to receive the kingdom like a self-centered 5-year-old. By no works, by not trying. Receive it. Take it. Take what you can and just run with it. There's this gift. Just run to your Father. Take this gift and enjoy it. That is how He wants us to receive the kingdom. Not by works, not by performance, not by, "God, what do I need to do now?" But completely by faith. And that is why Jesus said, every person needs to receive the kingdom of God like a child. Well, that's what I believe at least. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this revelation that we are pleasing to you as children. We are pleasing to you, not by our works and our performance, Father. You are completely and utterly burning with love. Your heart is jumping and skipping beats, Father. Because we trust and rely on you. Thank you, Jesus, that you've given us so much. And all you want us to do is just receive. Just receive. Just on a daily basis. See you for who you are. See the love that you're pouring out to us continually. Cups overflowing with love. Thank you, Father, but by your Holy Spirit, you'll bring into this week to remembrance this word that we received, Father. These seeds sown, Father, about us being pleasing to you, accepted by you, loved by you, just on the basis of us putting faith in you, trust in you.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.